A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and such contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I would say that one of the most difficult challenges in life to overcome is when there has been a situation where we have wronged someone or someone has wronged us. And the proverb writer says that if that's what happens between two brethren, and that's Proverbs 18 verse 19, it's almost easier to take a strong city and go over those walls than to get those two brethren to forgive each other and work that out. It's a very, very difficult thing. And not just brethren, it could be a spouse. It could be a parent and a child. It could be our neighbor. But when someone has wronged someone else, that is very challenging to overcome that. First of all, on the part of the one who has done the wrong, they have to be humble and repent and change and admit that they've done wrong, and that's difficult. On the part of the one who was wronged, they have to be forgiving and not hold a grudge or bitterness. And that's why the proverb writer says that when you have that going on, it's easier to take a city than it is to get those two people to work that out, because that's a very difficult thing. Trust has been broken and you're hurt in many kinds of ways. And so it's difficult to mend that rift, that tear. Keeping that in mind, turn with me to the little book of Philemon. And I want to close this evening our series of lessons that we've been doing on Paul's prison epistles. We've moved on through 1 Peter and now 1 Timothy. And so I wanted to wrap up our study of Paul's epistles. When you turn to the little book of Philemon, that's really what you're talking about. Two people that have had a tear where someone wronged another person, and we're going to see Paul's way of working through that in a lesson that I've entitled Refreshed in Christ. We're going to read the little book of Philemon. We don't preach much from that little book. It's a small book, I believe, with very big lessons. We're going to look at the little book of Philemon this evening. We're going to close our series of lessons on Paul's prison epistles. But before we look at the little book of Philemon, I want us to consider the idea of being refreshed. Have you ever been refreshed? Have you ever been in a situation where you were weary or hot or worn out, and something happened where it brought you back to life? It might be a cold drink. Maybe you were out cutting the yard on one of those hot summer middle Tennessee days and the humidity's high and it's hot, and you come in and you pour that ice cold Coca-Cola. It seems like, boy, that goes down really good. That's refreshing. I've been trying to cut back on the Cokes the last few years, but man, that's hard to do. There's some times where you just want that cold Coke or glass of water or iced tea or lemonade. Maybe it's a drink. Maybe you're dirty and hot and grungy, and maybe it's a bath. Maybe it's sometimes when I'm out in the yard, it's just the garden hose. Boy, that feels good. But something you drink, something you do to refresh you. It might be a nap. It might be some much needed sleep. But when you get up, you feel invigorated. Philemon twice has the word refreshed. I believe that's the theme of this book, because people are acting in a way that is refreshing. Christians are acting in a way that is refreshing. It's not like the rest of the world acts. It's different. And by that actions, it is refreshing and encouraging. We have a situation here in the book of Philemon where there are two people. One has wronged another. And that could be like Proverbs 18:19, where it just ends in a disaster and it never gets mended. Or it could be where we're all acting as Christians and we mend that relationship and we're actually better for it. That's what we want if we find those things in our lives today. Let's read the little book of Philemon and let's learn from three individuals this evening: Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love and of thy faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual in the knowledge of every good thing which is in you unto Christ. For I had much joy and comfort in thy love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through thee, brother. Wherefore, though I have all boldness in Christ to enjoin thee that which is befitting, yet for love's sake I rather beseech, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner also of Christ Jesus, I beseech thee for my child, whom I have begotten in my bonds, Onesimus, who once was unprofitable to thee, but now is profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent back to thee in his own person, that is, my very heart, whom I would fain have kept with me, that in thy behalf he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy goodness should not be as of necessity, but of free will. For perhaps he was therefore parted from thee for a season, that thou shouldest have him forever, no longer as a servant, but more than a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much rather to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then thou countest me as a partner, receive him as myself. But if he hath wronged thee at all, or oweth thee aught, put that to mine account. I, Paul, write it with my own hand, I will repay it. That I say not unto thee that thou owest to me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in thine obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do even beyond what I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be granted unto you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, saluteth thee, as so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Verse 20, refresh my heart in Christ. A lot of times we are out in the world and we just see the norm. We see people acting the way they act at work and other places, and we can pretty much expect the way they're going to act. They're going to be angry when they come to work. They're going to lie sometime today. They're going to be immoral in some kind of way. I'm going to hear a cuss word before the day's out. You can pretty much count on what they're going to do. Isn't it refreshing to see different behavior? Isn't it refreshing to see someone who's acting godly and Christ-like? That's really what this book is about. We've looked at Paul's prison epistles. The book of Ephesians, our wealth and our walk in Christ. Joy in Christ, the book of Philippians. Christ is our all-sufficient guide. We don't need any other human philosophy. Christ is our all, the book of Colossians. And then Philemon, refreshed in Christ. These prison epistles were written by Paul, as we've made mention many times in our classes, in the early 60s A.D. He is in a Roman prison house, a house arrest. We read about that at the end of Acts chapter 28. And from there, he's trying to help brethren. And in this case, he's trying to help two individuals who have had a
divide. They have had a split, and he's bringing them back together. And it's refreshing to see them acting the way Christians should act. Usually when there is something like that, what is the norm is bitterness and anger and fighting and hard feelings and that type of thing. But it's refreshing to see Christians receiving one another and forgiving one another and helping. And that's what we want to look at this evening. So in these four prison epistles, I hope that we've been able to see the main themes of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9. We're going to make a point on this later in the lesson, but this is one time in which the Apostle Paul wrote to a church and then individuals within that church. Philemon and Onesimus apparently were members of the church at Colossae. And so the entire church is getting a letter which Philemon and Onesimus would have heard the letter to the whole church. And then they themselves got a personal letter. It's kind of interesting. They're getting two letters. So in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, "All of my affairs shall Tychicus make known unto you, the beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for this very purpose, that you may know our state and that he may comfort your hearts, together with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you." So Onesimus, this slave, was a member of the church at Colossae. And so Philemon would have been a member there as well. "Who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things." And so Philemon is a slave owner. In the book of Philemon, it's the singular you. Paul is writing. This is one of the few times where Paul writes to an individual about a personal issue between he and his slave Onesimus. So when the letter gets to the church at Colossae, Philemon and Onesimus are sitting in the audience, and they hear the whole letter to the church at Colossae, and then they themselves have a private letter, how they're to act individually, and we'll make a point on that later. Paul wrote a letter to the whole church, Colossians, and then a letter to one of its members, Philemon. These letters were sent by Tychicus, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Philemon, then, is the only New Testament book dealing with a private matter between two individuals that have been estranged and broken for some time, but now they're coming back together. Paul asks Philemon, a slave owner, to receive back his runaway slave, Onesimus, who has now turned a Christian. What would you have done in that situation? How would you have acted? The theme, then, is refreshed in Christ. And so that's what we want to look at this evening. We need to act in such a way, brethren, when we act as a Christian, that we're refreshing. It's refreshing when we come into a situation and we're acting as Christians should act, because the world around us is living in sin. And we need to rise above that, and we need to act differently from that. And it's refreshing when you see a Christian acting the way Christ would have them to act. So when we look now at the book, after a brief greeting, as is typical of the Apostle Paul, and a typical closing remarks, what we have in the middle is three individuals that we want to focus in on this evening. We want to look at Philemon, who is refreshing in that he has a faith that is active. We find Paul, who is acting out of true Christian love, and that's refreshing to see that. And then we have Onesimus, who obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian in Rome, and that's refreshing. It's refreshing to see a person become a Christian in a world who cares nothing about becoming a Christian. Maybe this evening we can see that. Maybe this evening we could see one of our own come forward and be baptized into Christ. That would be refreshing. We have to act differently than the world around us. When we turn to the little book, we find Philemon. Come back with me now to Philemon in verse 4. Paul says, "I thank my God always, making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love and of thy faith." We're going to see a Christian here who has true faith and action. Not someone who's a bench warmer. Not someone who just fills a pew. But they're truly active even throughout the week. Brethren, we need to be Christians who are active in our faith throughout the week. We're not just a Sunday morning only person. We can see our faith. It's an active faith. It's not just something that we're saying.
I thank my God always making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love, many miles away. Philemon was an active Christian. We find in verse 1 he's described as a fellow worker. We find in verse 5 that his love and faith had been heard. We find in verse 6 that the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual in the knowledge of every good thing which is in you unto Christ. The sharing of his faith. And then he's refreshing. You refreshed the saints. Sometimes we have in the local congregation a dead faith. We have someone who comes to a church building, but they're not out helping others. We just went through the book of 1 Peter and that of hospitality. Hospitality, caring for others, doing for others, volunteering in the local congregation. We need to have an active faith. It needs to be something that we show, not just something that we say. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, a familiar passage. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:17, whoso hath the world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. Philemon was someone who went out and showed his faith. You could hear about his actions. You could hear about his love. That's refreshing. Sometimes today in the Lord's church, it's just simply filling a pew. It's just simply going through the motions. It's just simply having a name, Church of Christ, or I'm a Church of Christ person. But we're not actually out demonstrating our faith toward all of the saints, verse 5, and others. It's refreshing to see someone like this in the church. We need to be like that. Let's look now at this matter of his runaway slave. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Have you ever thought about, here is Philemon. He's sitting in the local congregation at Colossae. He gets a letter, a personal letter to him from the Apostle Paul. But he also gets another letter from Paul to the whole church. And so they're gathered together and they're hearing this whole letter. What is Philemon thinking when they're reading this letter? Come with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. What is Philemon thinking when he hears these words? Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And he's sitting there thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't do any of those things. And the person reading the letter keeps reading, for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you put them all away? And then here comes something that would be a little bit closer to home, because my slave ran away, who at that time was considered property. I've lost work because of him. I've lost money because of him. And now I'm hearing this. Put it all away. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of thy mouth. That would have been the temptation of Philemon, whose slave had run away, and I'm angry at him. And I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. If he ever comes back to Colossae, I'm going to let him have it. And he's hearing a letter that, as a Christian, I can't do that. You ever thought about that? In his personal letter from Paul, called Philemon, he's hearing that I need to take my slave back. But when he's hearing the congregational letter, he's also hearing I cannot be angry and have wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking. That would have been a challenge for him. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. Now look at this. Bondman, freeman. Paul is not saying that all of these distinctions are now gone in Christ. these distinctions will still be there. There will still be slaves and there will still be freemen. But in Christ, we have to treat each other as a Christian, and I can't mistreat my bondman anymore. But Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect. Now look at this, holy and beloved. Look at this, that would apply to Philemon, who had been wronged by his slave. A heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man, Onesimus, my slave, if any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Can you imagine how challenging that would have been for Philemon? But as a Christian, he would need to be doing that. Sometimes when a person wrongs us, we say, well, I have a right to be bitter, and I have a right, go back to verse 8, I have a right to be angry and bitter, and I have a right to speak evil of them, verse 8, and I don't have to be forbearing and forgiving, verse 13, but as a Christian, we need to do that. And Philemon would have had to do that with Onesimus. And it's refreshing when you see that happen. Usually what you see, and sometimes you'll see it in a congregation, is bitterness and a cold shoulder and an unforgiving spirit and that type of thing. It's refreshing to see someone actually follow the scripture. And Philemon did. And we're called upon to do that, brethren. So in Philemon, we see a man who is active in his faith. And he was so active and committed and consistent that the Apostle Paul says in verse 21, having confidence in thine obedience, I write unto thee. Do we have, would the Apostle Paul have confidence in us this evening that I know that Alan is going to do what God wants? I know that Kim is going to do what God wants. I know that Chris is going to do. Are we that faithful and committed that there is a confidence that we're going to do what God wants us to do? We need to be like that. Not a question mark, not doubt. But Paul knew from his previous behavior that when I'm telling him to receive his slave back and be forgiving, I know that he'll do that. We need to have a spiritual track record where the Apostle Paul could say that of us. I'm confident that brother or sister so-and-so is going to obey. And then we have Paul. Come with me to verse 8. It's refreshing to see someone who will just actually obey what Christ says and have an active faith. Number two, it's refreshing to see someone who acts with true Christian love. The Apostle Paul could have ordered with his apostolic authority Philemon to do some things, but he chose a different approach. He chose that of love. Verse 8, wherefore, though I have all boldness in Christ to enjoin, command thee that which is befitting, yet for love's sake I rather beseech, being such a one as Paul the aged and now a prisoner also of Christ Jesus. This is one of the verses, verse 9 and 10, that let us know that he's in a prison. He mentions his bonds. Verse 10, verse 13, it's one of Paul's prison epistles. But it's refreshing to see someone who is acting out of true Christian love. And so when you look at Paul, you see an example of true Christian love. When you look at Philemon, you see an example of true faith in action. What are some of the things that are mentioned here? First of all, in verses 8 and 9, he's acting out of love. In verse 13, he's unselfish. We're going to skip over verse 10 and 11 right now. We're going to talk about Onesimus in a minute. But come with me to verse 13. Whom I would have fain kept with me, that in thy behalf he might minister unto me. Paul said, I could have kept him and he could have taken care of me, but I'm going to send him back to you. He was selfless. He wasn't selfish. He was courteous. Verse 14. Without thy mind I would do nothing. I want you to be a part of this process. He acted like a partner. If then thou countest me as a partner. He acted fairly. If there was something that Onesimus owed his master, he was willing to repay that. He acted joyfully. Verse 20. Let me have joy in thee. He acted confidently. Verse 21. And in verse 22... withal prepare a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be granted unto you." He acted with hope. This is the Apostle Paul acting out of true Christian love. Do we act like that? Is that how we work out our differences and our problems with family members and those outside in the world, other church members? Verse 8 and 9, love's sake. And then turn with me to verse 10. Let's look at Onesimus. We'll look at that matter of love some more in just a minute. Onesimus, the third main character of this little book, a slave who had run away. Slavery in the first century is an interesting situation. Onesimus means profitable, useful. And while he had run away from his master, he was not useful to him. He's not useful to himself and to others, and so he needs to become a Christian. He was a slave of Philemon who had run away to Rome. I don't know why he went to Rome. I don't know if that's where he came from. But there, by the providence of God, he's converted by the Apostle Paul. Slavery was harsh in the first century. Slaves were considered property. It's something you own. And so, like a lot of property, you can be mistreated anytime, any place, and nobody would blink an eye. There were about 60 million slaves at this time in the Roman Empire, in Rome, one-third of the population. Very common to see or be around a slave. Apparently, Onesimus had had enough of that and wanted to run away and leave it. But his name means profitable, but he's not being profitable to anybody in that situation. He was not useful as a runaway slave, and he's not useful and helpful as a non-Christian. And so something's got to change. And so he obeys the gospel and he becomes a Christian. We know that if you look at verse 16, the Apostle Paul calls Onesimus a brother. By the providence of God, he's become a Christian. And it's refreshing to see someone obey the gospel when everybody else around them is being worldly. He was not useful as a runaway slave. He was not useful to Jesus Christ. And so he leaves behind his spiritual slavery of sin to become a Christian. He remains a slave. The New Testament does not teach that when a person becomes a slave, becomes a Christian, he gives up that position. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What it did was the gospel regulated the behavior between masters and slaves so that there was proper treatment. We would call it today the employer-employee relationship. The gospel told masters and slaves to stay together, but it bettered their attitude and relationship toward each other. And then eventually the gospel, just from secular history, the gospel encouraged people just to stop having slaves altogether. But in the first century, the slave who became a Christian remained a slave, but was treated better because of the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. "Only as the Lord hath distributed to each man as God hath called each, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Was any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Hath any one been called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God." We're going to come back to that later. "Let each man abide in the calling wherein he was called. Wast thou called being a bondservant? Care not for it. No, even if thou canst become free, use it rather. For he that was called in the Lord, being a bondservant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise," listen, "he that was called being free is Christ's bondservant. You were bought with a price. Become not bondservants of men. Brethren, let each man, wherein he was called, therein abide with God. And one of those includes verse 21. If you became a Christian when you were a slave, you can stay that way. But the gospel is going to ask you to act better with your master, and he's going to ask your master to act better with you. This man becomes a Christian, and then he's truly useful. Note the power of the gospel here. Here's a man on the run. He's in Rome. The providence of God leads him somehow to Paul. I'd like to know how that happened. But the power of the gospel can change a person. And here he is returning to Philemon. And he's a Christian. And he's hearing the letter to Colossians. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go down to the latter part of that same chapter. When that book of Colossians is being read and Philemon is sitting there and his slave Onesimus is sitting beside him having come back home. They're sitting there in the local congregation at Colossae and they're hearing this letter when they get down to what we call chapter 3 and verse 5. Onesimus is probably thinking, I sure hope my master is paying attention. But then when they're reading and they get down to verse 22, Philemon might be thinking, well, I sure hope Onesimus is paying attention. Look at it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatsoever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. You serve the Lord. For he that doeth wrong shall receive again for the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Masters, render unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And that here's a master and a slave sitting there hearing that. Philemon is called upon to act properly now. He wasn't doing that earlier. And Philemon is called upon, chapter 4 and verse 1, to treat him properly. And it's refreshing when men and women will do that instead of just acting like the others in society. As we close this evening, I want us to consider some lessons from this little book for our admonition this evening and this week as we go out and try to be Christians where we are in the world. It is refreshing to see true faith in action. Let's be Christians who have a true faith in action. Not just something we say and talk about, but something we do. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, faith working through love. Let's be active. There may be those around us that need our help. Let's be active. We're not going to confine our Christianity to the church building. Paul talks about a work of faith, Colossians 1:4, a labor of love. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Thessalonians 1:11, James 2:14. All of these talk about an active faith, and it's refreshing to see that in the local church. That was Philemon. What we see often in the Lord's church today is maybe being a Christian in name only and not showing that in action. Faith working through love. Working. Let's be that type of Christian this week. We're not going to just simply say, go warm, go be warmed and filled. Turn with me to James chapter 2. We're not just going to say some things. We're not going to say all of the right things. And as members of the church, I believe we're able to say the right things. We know the right verses. We know the right concepts. We know the right teachings. And we can say certain things. But we're not just simply going to say that. James 2:16. If one of you say unto them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. This is written to Christians. A lot of times we use this verse to talk about active faith and becoming a Christian. But the immediate context here is those who are already Christians. We need to have a faith that works. And it's refreshing to see that
in the Lord's church today. Let's be that type of person. It's refreshing to see true Christian love expressed toward others. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes this is read at weddings, and that's fine, but the immediate context is Christians getting along with each other in the local church at Corinth. And it's refreshing to see Christians who will have true Christian love. That's Paul. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffereth long. We're not going to be short-tempered. Is kind. We're not going to be unkind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. We're not going to be proud and puffed up. We're going to be humble. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That little jab, that little dig, that the gossip, the word or the look or the act that is seeking to hurt somebody. Seeketh not its own. We're not going to be selfish. We're going to be selfless. Is not provoked. And this is difficult. We might have a personality that is easily provoked and stirred up, but we're going to remain calm. Taketh not account of evil. We're not going to try to hope that something evil comes out of this. We're trying to stay away from evil. We're trying to do only that which is good. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. We don't want sin and unrighteousness to go on. We're trying to fix the problem and so that there can be righteousness. But rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And it's refreshing to see that in the life of a Christian. When we're in a world of the opposite of that. And then last of all, it's refreshing to see someone who will be converted to Christ and be truly useful. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Let me appeal to maybe someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. We are not truly useful until we become a Christian. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he's talking about dishonorable things in verse 20, things that are wrong. If we'll get rid of those things, then we will be meet or necessary or suitable for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That's the only way to be useful is to be a faithful Christian. How can we truly be useful to our parents? Become a Christian. How can we be truly useful to our children as a parent? Become a Christian. To our spouse. To our friends and neighbors. That's the only way we can truly be useful. We're not useful as a runaway. We're not useful when we try to stay away from that which is right and good and Christian. We need to come back. And that's what Onesimus did. A Christian is a truly useful child. Well, I love my parents. Well, if you're of that age where you need to respond to the gospel, do that. They want to see you do that. And to my spouse and to those who work with me, to citizens around me, my neighbors, I can truly be useful when I become a faithful Christian. Let's have an active faith toward others. Let's go out this evening and be a Philemon. It's refreshing to see that. Let's be like Paul and have that Christian love toward others. Let's be like the Onesimus, the man who was truly useful when he became a Christian. He truly could be used in the Lord's service. It's refreshing to see that. Let's go out and be that this week. There's going to be a world full of the devil this week. You be refreshing and be different. And if you're subject to that invitation and you need to step forward and be baptized into Christ, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.